While the left continues to maintain that the greatest threat to America's security is Donald Trump's political incorrectness, the reality is, of course, precisely the opposite. The politically correct America, promulgated by the left, leads to Americans dying in horrific ways. According to Florida Today, quote, a former Fort Pierce police officer who once worked with 29-year-old Omar Mateen, the assailant in an Orlando nightclub shooting that left at least 50 dead, said he was unhinged and unstable. The guy's name was Daniel Gilroy. He was a former Fort Pierce police officer, and he said Mateen frequently made homophobic and racial comments. He said he complained to his employer, but it did nothing because he was Muslim. Gilroy actually quit his job because Mateen began stalking him via multiple text messages, 20 or 30 a day. He apparently also sent Gilroy 13 to 15 phone messages a day. Apparently, he talked of killing people. Well, as you recall, this follows hard on a similar story from the San Bernardino terrorist attack. That's when CBS LA reported, quote, a man who has been working in the area said he noticed a half dozen Middle Eastern men in the area in recent weeks, but decided not to report anything since he did not wish to racially profile those people. So we're now two for two in our political correctness sweepstakes, or at least the terrorists are. But Hillary Clinton continues to stump for political correctness. On Sunday, Hillary said this, quote, inflammatory anti-Muslim rhetoric, threatening to ban the families and friends of Muslim Americans, as well as millions of Muslim business people and tourists from entering the country, that hurts the vast majority of Muslims who love freedom and hate terror. I may disagree with Donald Trump's policy suggestions on immigration. We'll talk more about that. I think they're both too broad and too narrow. They're too broad because we can screen some Muslims for entry to the United States, and they're too narrow because many of the Muslims who we are worried about are coming from non-Islamic countries. I can disagree with those policies, but still recognize that Trump's rhetoric is far less of a problem than Hillary Clinton continuing to maintain that people who speak out strongly against radical Islamic terrorism, quote, play into the terrorists' hands. Blasting those who do so, that plays into the terrorists' hands. Every time President Obama or Hillary complained about incidents like Ahmed Clockboy Bahamut, you remember that guy, brought a bomb, a clock that looked like a bomb to school, and then complained about it to the administration called the police, and then there's a big hubbub. They make it more difficult for everyday citizens to report incidents that end up being exactly the sort of red flags Democrats lament after terrorist attacks. Listen, Donald Trump spoke the absolute truth when he said after the terrorist attack in Orlando, quote, we need to respond to this attack on America as one united people with force, purpose, and determination. But the current politically correct response cripples our ability to talk and think and act clearly. If we don't get tough and we don't get smart and fast, we're not going to have a country anymore. This is true. After the next terrorist attack, we're not going to hear about Trump's meanie musings. We're going to hear about missed signals, reported incidents, politically correct throat-clearing bureaucrats who refuse to follow up. And the bodies will continue to stack up. That's what always happens when political correctness wins. I'm Ben Shapiro. This is The Ben Shapiro Show.
Tend to demonize people who don't care about your feelings.
Okay, so here we are. And there's a lot going on, obviously. Now, number one, for folks who can see, you should subscribe to Daily Wire because normally our studio looks better than this. I'm just broadcasting from a studio at a Salem Communications office. I just did my morning show. And my phone is actually placed atop a pile of plates. We'll take a picture of it and we'll put it on the Ben Shapiro Instagram, which you can also follow. But go to Daily Wire and you can see all the clips we're going to show and you can take part in the mailbag and all of that. It's a lot of fun. Okay, speaking of things that are not a lot of fun, I come back from break yesterday from the Jewish holiday of Shavuot. I come back and the world is on fire again. 49 people, most of them gay, maybe all of them gay, killed in Orlando at a gay nightclub called Pulse by a radical Islamic terrorist named Omar Mateen. Right, that's what's going on. Now, obviously, it's very disheartening stuff, very, very scary stuff, terrifying stuff. And what's even more terrifying is the reactions of the various folks in politics to all of this. And so we're going to talk today about the three speeches that came out about this. So there was Donald Trump's speech, then there was Hillary Clinton's speech, and there was Barack Obama's speech. Why don't we actually start with the President of the United States? Because that sets the background for everything that President Obama believes and why Donald Trump has risen as far as he has in politics. President Obama comes out, and the very first thing he says, we don't have enough information about this stuff.
With respect to the killer, there's been a lot of reporting that's been done. It's important to emphasize that we're still at the preliminary stages of the investigation, and there's a lot more that we have to learn. The one thing that we can say is that this is being treated as a terrorist investigation. It appears that the shooter was inspired by various extremist information that was disseminated over the internet. All those materials are currently being searched, exploited, so we will have a better sense of the pathway that the killer took in making a decision to launch this attack.
Okay, so there's a couple words that may be missing. You may have noticed they're missing when President Obama speaks here. Radical and Islam, they're gone, right? They don't exist. My favorite part is when he says the shooter was inspired by various extremist information. Various, you know, like he was just sitting around and turns out that there are a bunch of people who loved My Little Ponies and he was inspired by that to go shoot a bunch of gay people at a nightclub. Or it's possible he was inspired by ISIS talk, especially since he identified with ISIS. He apparently came out and said that he liked ISIS and that he wanted to do this in solidarity with ISIS. He's not the only one. Apparently, there's just breaking news. There's a shooting at Walmart. Somebody tried to hold hostages at Walmart. He was shot by the police, and they found a letter in Arabic in his car. Over in France, there's a guy who knifed two police officers to death. He, too, said that he was a member of ISIS. But none of this has to do with radical Islam. And this is the part. And so President Obama, notice how dicey he is about mentioning Islam. He's so scared of mentioning Islam. We'll talk about that in a second. Here's President Obama continuing, saying, well, yeah, he says he liked ISIS, but can we really talk about things like that?
It does appear that at the last minute, he announced allegiance to ISIL. But there is no evidence so far that he was, in fact, directed by ISIL. And there also, at this stage, is no direct evidence that he was part of a larger plot. In that sense, it appears to be similar to what we saw in San Bernardino, but we don't yet know. And this is part of what is going to be important in terms of the investigation.
Okay, so he says that, well, we don't know yet. Maybe they were part of it. It's not clear. They were linked to ISIL. Okay, who cares? Okay, none of this really matters. In the end, all that really matters is the fact that this guy was, he grew up in America, apparently. His dad, it turns out, had significant terror ties. He was somebody who's a fan of the Taliban. His son had ties to a terrorist who went and fought for the Al-Qaeda in Syria. He was investigated by the FBI routinely. The FBI checked him out in 2013 and let him go. So that makes three terrorist suspects in a row the FBI has failed to stop. So that would be the Tsarnaevs. That would be the Fayed Farouk, Syed Farouk, the guy in San Bernardino, and his wife. And now this guy, the FBI checked them out and let them go. But President Obama doesn't really care about all of this. He doesn't really care about all of this. What President Obama really cares about, what he really cares about is the gun. What he really cares about is the gun. And you'll see why this is going to lead Donald Trump to say what Donald Trump is going to say in a minute and why Hillary Clinton is going to say what Hillary Clinton says in a minute. So President Obama says that, yes, this guy may have had connections to ISIS or at least he liked ISIS, but the real issue is the weapon. He continues.
As far as we can tell right now, this is certainly an example of the kind of homegrown extremism that all of us have been so concerned about for a very long time. It also appears that he was able to obtain these weapons legally because he did not have a criminal record that in some ways would prohibit him from purchasing these weapons. It appears that one of those weapons he was able to just carry out of the store, an assault rifle, a handgun, a Glock, which had a lot of clips in it. He was apparently required to wait for 3 days under Florida law. But it does indicate the degree to which it was not difficult for him to obtain these kinds of weapons.
Okay, so he says that it was too easy for them to obtain these kinds of weapons. That's the problem. It was too easy for people to get weapons. And this is the Democratic talking point. So in Game of Thrones, there's a character named Hodor. And all Hodor can say, or there was a character named Hodor, all Hodor can say is Hodor. Okay? That's all Democrats can say. When terrorist attack occurs and a gun was used, all they can say is gun control. Take somebody's weapon. Take my weapon. Somebody's weapon has to be taken. And you can hear the sort of rage he has against the NRA is significantly stronger than the anger he has against radical Islamic terror, which, by the way, he reinforced today. He did a press conference in which he said he doesn't even see the purpose of saying radical Islamic terror. This is all just a talking point. It's all just a talking point. It's just something people say. They spout it because they don't have a real strategy. We'll explain in a second why it matters to say radical Islamic terror. But first, President Obama won't do it. Here's the last Obama clip, the one where he talks about the NRA.
the fact that we make it this challenging for law enforcement, for example, even to get to get alerted that somebody who they are watching has purchased a gun. And if they do get alerted, sometimes it's hard for them to stop them from getting a gun, is crazy. It's a problem. And we have to, I think, do some soul searching. But again, you know, the danger here is that then it ends up being the usual political debate, and the NRA and the gun control folks say that, Obama doesn't want to talk about terrorism. And if you talk about terrorism, then people say, why aren't you looking at issues of gun control? The point is that if we have self-radicalized individuals in this country, then they are going to be very difficult, oftentimes, to find ahead of time.
Okay, so he says hard to find them ahead of time, and it's hard to find them, but it's easier to track the guns. This is just stupid on every level. The Israelis are very good at stopping terrorism. Even they can't stop every terrorist attack. What they can do is have people who are willing to shoot the terrorists. And this is what's happened the last few terrorist attacks in Israel. Knife attacks, they're civilians, people who pull out guns and shoot the attackers. Okay, in this particular case, you had a crowded nightclub, 2 a.m., and the guy opens fire. Apparently, he had to reload several times, and no one there had a gun. Nobody there had a gun. And I can tell you this, you know, as an Orthodox Jew, right? I live in Los Angeles, and as an Orthodox Jew, I have to consider every Sabbath whether I want to illegally carry my 9mm Glock handgun or whether I prefer to obey the law. And this is a consideration a lot of people are going to have to make in cities where it's difficult to carry openly or carry concealed. They're going to have to determine whether they trust the government to keep them safe, because the pitch here seems to be, we're not going to keep you safe from radical Islam. We can't identify them ahead of time. But if you hand over your guns to us, then we'll keep you safe. So in other words, you'll keep me just as safe as you kept the gay folks at this LGBT bar. If I hand you my guns, sorry, gang, not going to happen. Sorry, gang, it's not happening. Now, President Obama, as I say, he's very upset with Donald Trump because Donald Trump has called him out for not saying the words radical Islamic terror. Right? He hasn't said radical Islamic terror. And because he hasn't said radical Islamic terror, President Obama says, well, what does that matter? Here's how it matters. The reason it matters is because we believe that what you say publicly reflects how you feel privately. This is why words matter. And we believe that what you feel privately reflects what you are going to do in terms of policy. So if you refuse to say radical Islamic terror, we assume that you don't think radical Islamic terror is a problem. And we also assume that the policies that you pursue are going to reflect your feelings. This is certainly true of President Obama, who's spending all of his time on massive gun control while handing a nuclear weapon to Iran, while doing nothing about the rise of ISIS, while doing nothing about the domination of the region by terrorists, while blaming Israel for terrorism. Yes, of course, radical Islam and using the word matters when it's not clear who you think the enemy is. You know, President Obama says, I know who the enemy is. According to you, it's guns. According to you, it's guns. Okay, so with Obama as backdrop, let's now compare and contrast the two candidates, Donald Trump and Hillary Clinton. These are the two people who we've been given, unfortunately. Donald Trump gave what I thought was the best speech of his candidacy over this particular issue. And I'm going to point out where I think there are flaws, because I don't think it's a perfect speech. I think there are problems when it comes to policy. But as I've said before, Donald Trump is a good diagnostician and he's a terrible doctor. Okay, what that means is, a good diagnostician, you go in, you say, I'm not feeling good. And the doctor looks at you, does all the tests, and figures out, oh, I'm sorry to tell you this, you have cancer. Here are the options. We can do surgery. We can give you chemo. There's some experimental drugs you could try. Right, that's what a good doctor does. They give you the diagnosis, and then they give you some possible solutions. Donald Trump is good with diagnosis. He hits the diagnosis on the head a lot of the time. The problem is that he then prescribes that you hit yourself in the face with a hammer. Here's the issue, though. If the doctor who you're talking to happens to be Hillary Clinton or Barack Obama, they refuse to even make the diagnosis. They just pretend it doesn't exist. Now, the thing about Trump is you could get the diagnosis from Trump and then hope that maybe Trump will talk with some other doctors. Maybe Trump will find somebody who knows the solutions better than he does. Maybe you can use Trump's diagnostic skill and then go find solutions from another doctor. Maybe elect a third-party candidate. But what he's saying is much more correct than what Hillary and Trump are saying. Hillary and Obama are saying. So Trump gives this speech right after, and it's accompanied by all of Trump's usual stupidities. So Trump tweets out right after this attack happens. He says, "Thanks for the congrats in terms of calling this ahead of time." Okay, that's so self-centered and inappropriate after a shooting. But what Trump actually says in this speech, you can't argue with it because he's totally correct. So here is Donald Trump talking about political correctness and how it's prevented us from fighting terrorism.
"We need to respond to this attack on America as one united people with force, purpose, and determination. But the current politically correct response cripples our ability to talk and to think and act clearly. We're not acting clearly. We're not talking clearly. We've got problems. If we don't get tough and if we don't get smart and fast, we're not going to have our country anymore. There will be nothing, absolutely nothing left."
Okay, this is what people are thinking. So Trump is expressing it in a way that I think is silly, but what he is saying is right. What he is saying is 100% absolute truth. When he says our current politically correct response kills us, as I said in the intro, people knew that this guy was bad news. But when they reported it, nobody wanted to do anything because he was Muslim. This is how political incorrectness, and this is how political correctness ends up with dead bodies. And it does. It ends up with dead bodies. Okay, he continues along these lines. And what he says here about immigration is totally correct also. I said, Trump, this is the best moment of Trump's campaign so far. By far, it ain't close.
"The killer, whose name I will not use or ever say, was born in Afghan, of Afghan parents, who immigrated to the United States. His father published support for the Afghan Taliban, a regime which murders those who don't share its radical views, and they murdered plenty. The father even said he was running for president of Afghanistan. The bottom line is that the only reason the killer was in America in the first place was because we allowed his family to come here. That is a fact, and it's a fact we need to talk about. We have a dysfunctional immigration system, which does not permit us to know who we let into our country, and it does not permit us to protect our citizens properly."
Okay. This is totally correct. Okay, so there's one thing he says here that's not true. It's not factually true. This guy was not born in Afghanistan. He was born in the United States to Afghan parents. His father was a supporter of the Afghan Taliban. He's talked about running for president of Afghanistan. The only reason is because we allowed his family to come here. And this is a real problem, folks. It's a real problem. This is why, you know, for all of my anti-Trump rhetoric, for all the things I've said about Trump, the one thing that I haven't really argued with is the idea that we have to get stronger on immigration. Of course, this is true. I was arguing strong on immigration long before Trump was. Okay, the idea of building a wall, the idea of heightened screening for people who are coming from Muslim-majority countries, the idea of heightened screening for Muslims who are coming to the United States because Islam is, in fact, an indicator of Islamic terror. That doesn't mean people can't get in. It doesn't mean that we can't screen people. It doesn't mean that we can't make sure that people are safe, but it does mean that if you have a Swedish grandmother who's Presbyterian, you give her a different level of scrutiny than an 18-year-old Muslim coming from France or Afghanistan. What he's saying here is totally correct. Okay, we don't have to let people in. There is nothing in the Constitution that says we have to let people in. And Trump continues along these lines. Now, again, here's where Trump is a little wrong. So Trump's diagnostic is correct, and then his prescription is a little bit wrong. So here's his prescription. It's a little bit wrong. I'll explain why.
"I called for a ban after San Bernardino and was met with great scorn and anger. But now, many years, and I have to say many years, but many are saying that I was right to do so. And although the pause is temporary, we must find out what is going on. We have to do it. It will be lifted, this ban, when and as a nation we're in a position to properly and perfectly screen these people coming into our country. They're pouring in and we don't know what we're doing. The immigration laws of the United States give the president powers to suspend entry into the country of any class of persons. Now, any class, it really is determined and to be determined by the president, for the interests of the United States, and it's as he or she deems appropriate." Hopefully it's he in this case. Thank you. I will use this power to protect the American people. When I'm elected, I will suspend immigration from areas of the world where there is a proven history of terrorism against the United States, Europe, or our allies, until we fully understand how to end these threats. Okay. After a full...
We can stop it there. So here's what he says, right? So he mentions his San Bernardino Muslim ban, and people said this was stupid, including me, because it is stupid. And then he says, the immigration laws of the United States give the president the power to suspend entry into the country of any class of persons the president deems detrimental to the interests or security of the United States. Okay, that's true, but it's challengeable in a court of law. So if you just say we're not letting anybody in who's black, right? If you say we're not letting anybody in who's white, we're not letting anybody in who's Jewish, we're not letting anybody in who's Christian, that will likely be challenged in court, and it'll be difficult for that to be upheld. Okay, now, his actual policy here, here's the problem. He says he'll suspend immigration from areas of the world where there's a proven history of terrorism against the United States. So, how about France? How about France? There's no proven history of terrorism against the United States in France. How do we get a Muslim coming from France? Well, this is where his policy is both too broad and also too narrow. So it's too broad in the sense that it says no Muslims can come in, and it's too narrow in the sense that he's now targeting areas. And the fact is that Muslims coming from Syria are actually less of a risk than Muslims coming from France or Britain in many cases, because you can be radicalized anywhere, and there are major radical populations in the West. Okay, that said, what he's basically saying is still in the realm of correct. It's still in the realm of correct. And then he gets to the part where he is 100% correct. Here's the part. This is the best quote that he has the entire campaign. Here's Donald Trump talking about radical Islam.
We cannot continue to allow thousands upon thousands of people to pour into our country, many of whom have the same thought process as this savage killer. Many of the principles of radical Islam are incompatible with Western values and institutions. Remember this, radical Islam is anti-woman, anti-gay, and anti-American. I refuse to allow America to become a place where gay people, Christian people, Jewish people are targets of persecution and intimidation by radical Islamic preachers of hate and violence. This is not just a national security issue. It's a quality of life issue. If we want to protect the quality of life for all Americans, women and children, gay and straight, Jews and Christians, and all people, then we need to tell the truth about radical Islam, and we need to do it now.
Okay, we need to do it now is how he finishes that. Yes, that is 100% correct. Every word of that is correct. Radical Islam is anti-gay, it's anti-woman, it's anti-freedom, it's anti-American, it's anti-Jew. Radical Islam is an evil, nasty, terrible ideology, and Trump is exactly right when he says this. He's exactly right, and the reason he's resonating is because Obama's Kevin Bacon routine from Animal House. Nothing to see here, remain calm, everyone, everything's fine, just give us your guns and everything will be cool. We're here to keep order. You just tell us what, you just give us all of your rights and we'll take care of you. When Trump says you can't even name the enemy, yes, yes, 100 times yes, this is why Republicans are supporting Donald Trump. This is why people are getting behind Donald Trump, and I fully get it. I fully get it. Now, does that mean that Donald Trump is a guy that they should get behind? You know, I've been saying no, and the reason is because of all of his other flaws and because Donald Trump can't control himself and because this, I'm not sure, represents what Donald Trump will actually do. But when we look at the diagnosis, it's impossible not to look at the diagnosis and say that man is spot on. He is 100% on the money. What he says here is exactly correct. What he says here is exactly correct. And again, you know, if I don't support him, it's for the same reasons I wouldn't support Pat Buchanan, who says the same things that Donald Trump says. But that doesn't mean that Donald Trump isn't right on this issue. He is 100% right on this issue. And Donald Trump continues to be right on this issue. And then he turns to attack Hillary Clinton. So skip one clip, and then it's the one that begins with Hillary Clinton. Hillary Clinton, he attacks her, and he says, look, I just called out radical Islam. Hillary Clinton, she can't even say the words radical Islam.
Yet Hillary Clinton, for months, and despite so many attacks, repeatedly refused to even say the words radical Islam until I challenged her yesterday. And guess what? She will probably say them. She sort of has said them, but let's see what happens. She really has no choice, but she doesn't want. However, she's really been forced, and she has been forced to say these words. She supports, and the reason is, she supports so much of what is wrong and what is wrong with this country and what's going wrong with our country and our borders. She has no clue, in my opinion, what radical Islam is, and she won't speak honestly about it if she does, in fact, know. She's in total denial, and her continuing reluctance to ever name the enemy broadcasts weakness across the entire world. True weakness. I don't know if you know this, but just a few weeks before San Bernardino, the slaughter, that's all it was, a slaughter, Hillary Clinton explained her refusal to say the words radical Islam. Here is what she said, exact quote. Muslims are peaceful and tolerant people and have nothing whatsoever to do with terrorism. That is Hillary Clinton.
Okay, and that is exactly right. He's totally right. Again, the diagnosis is exactly right. He goes on to say that Hillary wants to take away your guns. They tried that in France. That failed. He talks about immigration policy and how the federal government refuses to turn over information on where Syrian Muslim refugees are going. All this is 100% true. All of this is 100% true. And then he concludes by saying that he really is the friend of women in the LGBT community, because he says he doesn't want to allow radical Islamic terrorists to pour into the country who enslave women and murder gays. He said, I don't want this in our country. This is 100% true. Again, this is the best thing that Trump has said during the entire campaign. Right? What he said during this campaign, I can't argue with this, nor would I, because it's true. Okay, when Donald Trump says things that are true, I'm going to say he says things that are true. And Donald Trump is saying things that are true right here. He's saying, now, that doesn't mean he's not receiving an inordinate amount of criticism. He is receiving a tremendous amount of criticism. He's receiving a lot of criticism from his fellow Republicans. Bob Corker is very upset with him. And, you know, there are a lot of Republicans who think that it's terrible what he's saying. Politico had an entire article this morning about it. Here, this is from Politico, talking about the proposed ban on Muslim immigrants. It says, Trump's terror response has Republicans fretting. Okay, and what it says is, some have wondered whether he failed to harness a moment to elevate himself and pass what one Republican called the desk test, the ability to picture Trump in the Oval Office in times of crisis. On Capitol Hill, his renewed call for a ban on Muslim immigration drew quick condemnations from GOP lawmakers, even as they struggled to stand by their presumptive nominee. Now, here's the thing. I, again, have opposed his Muslim immigration ban. I've said that it's too broad, and I've said that it's too narrow. I've said that this is poorly calibrated. That said, he looks a lot more palatable today than Hillary Clinton, because here's Hillary Clinton. Hillary Clinton did her speech, contrasted with Donald Trump and Obama. And what she said is basically, she started off with a few nice words about ISIS and fighting radical Islam, and she did use the words radical Islam, and then she moved fully into the category for the left of gun control. In a second, I'm going to explain why it is that the left is so focused on gun control. Why do they care so much about gun control? Why does that seem to be the only thing that matters to them, gun control? And why is it that the LGBT community is circling around the left that wants to import more radical Muslims to America, radical Muslims who hate gays and want to murder them? We'll explain that in one second. Here's Hillary Clinton. She says that we're going to learn more about the killer in the days to come, and then she admits that he had associations with ISIS.
We will learn more about the killer in the days to come. We know that he pledged allegiance to ISIS, that they are now taking credit, and that part of their strategy is to radicalize individuals and encourage attacks against the United States, even if they are not coordinated with ISIS leadership.
Okay, and what she says there is true. And then she continues along those lines, and she says, we know his motives. We know the barbarity of radical jihadists. This is good language from Hillary Clinton. And again, if she says something good, I'll call her on it. Here's where she says something good.
Whatever we learn about this killer, his motives in the days ahead, we know already the barbarity that we face from radical jihadists is profound. In the Middle East, ISIS is attempting a genocide of religious and ethnic minorities. They are slaughtering Muslims who refuse to accept their medieval ways. They are beheading civilians, including executing LGBT people. They are murdering Americans and Europeans, enslaving, torturing, and raping women and girls. In speeches like this one, after Paris, Brussels, and San Bernardino, I have laid out a plan to defeat ISIS and the other radical jihadist groups in the region and beyond. The attack in Orlando makes it even more clear. We cannot contain this threat. We must defeat it.
Okay, all this is fine. All this is good language. All of what she's saying is fine. Then she spends the last half of her speech, the last entire half of her speech, talking about what she really cares about, gun control and stopping Islamophobia. So let's skip down a few clips. She starts talking about gun safety regulations, which she calls gun safety regulations. And she starts talking about how this is what's really necessary in order to save us all. I think it's skipping down six or seven clips.
And yes, if you're too dangerous to get on a plane, you are too dangerous to buy a gun in America. Now, I know some will say that assault weapons and background checks are totally separate issues having nothing to do with terrorism. Well, in Orlando and San Bernardino, terrorists used assault weapons, the AR-15, and they used it to kill Americans. That was the same assault weapon used to kill those little children in Sandy Hook. We have to make it harder for people who should not have those weapons of war. And that may not stop every shooting or every terrorist attack, but it will stop some, and it will save lives, and it will protect our first responders. And I want you to know, I'm not going to.
This is a bunch of crap. What she's saying right now is a bunch of crap. And this is the problem. Hillary Clinton, she pretends that she's diagnosing the problem, and then she presents solutions that are even worse than Trump's, much worse than Trump's, right? At least Trump knows who the enemy is. Hillary thinks the enemy is the gun. First of all, it wasn't even an AR-15 that was used in Florida. It was a completely different type of gun. Beyond that, it wouldn't matter if an AR-15 had been used in Florida. Did we ban pressure cookers after the Boston bombing? Did we ban knives in Israel after there are a bunch of stabbing attacks? Okay, the idea that you can stop this sort of stuff from happening if I turn over my AR-15 to Hillary Clinton is ridiculous. It's ridiculous. So you have a bunch of unarmed people who get shot, and her answer is to disarm more people? That's her answer? Let's take the guns away from more people? That'll fix everything? But this is what Hillary Clinton thinks. She thinks that taking away my gun is somehow going to make the world safer. And by the way, her complaint here about the terrorist watch list, this is such a nonsense argument. The argument about terrorist watch lists is we don't let people on terrorist watch lists fly. They don't know that until they try to fly. The thing about terror watch lists is that people don't usually tend to fly that often unless they're people who travel a lot like me. Most people don't fly all that often. Most people travel once, twice a year at maximum. Most people actually don't even travel that much. If you're on the terror watch list, you don't know it. Okay, the idea of the terror watch list, that we're going to remove rights from you because you got on a list that you can't get off of and we have no evidence as to how you got on it, that's a little Orwellian, isn't it? That's a problem. We still have rights in this country from the same people who argue that Edward Snowden was a hero. This is kind of weird language, isn't it? That if you're on the terror watch list, we should take away your Second Amendment rights. Hillary Clinton would go on to say that if you're under FBI investigation, we shouldn't allow you to have a weapon. How about if you're under FBI investigation, we don't allow you to run for president? She's under active FBI investigation right now, today, right? But she's saying that your rights should be removed if you're under FBI investigation, but her rights should not be curtailed in any way. Listen, if the FBI has you, if the FBI is tracking you, if the FBI has surveillance on you, then the FBI presumably should be able to get enough evidence to do something to you. In this particular case, they stopped policing this guy in 2013. So let's say that it had gone the other way. Let's say he lived another 40 years in the country without murdering a bunch of people at a gay nightclub. And by the way, he was gay too, apparently. Let's say that had happened. Would it have been okay to ban guns from him then? These demands, these policies that she's pushing make no sense whatsoever. They make no sense whatsoever. And what Hillary then goes on to say, she says there's gun control as one of her policies, and also we have to stop Islamophobia. She says that we can't use language like Donald Trump's, and she blathers about inflammatory anti-Muslim rhetoric being the real problem in America.
Inflammatory anti-Muslim rhetoric and threatening to ban the families and friends of Muslim Americans, as well as millions of Muslim business people and tourists from entering our country hurts the vast majority of Muslims who love freedom and hate terror. So does saying that we have to start special surveillance on our fellow Americans because of their religion. It's no coincidence that hate crimes against American Muslims and mosques have tripled after Paris and San Bernardino. That's wrong, and it's also dangerous. It plays right into the terrorists' hands.
It plays right in. So Islamophobia is what creates terrorism. What absolute horse crap. Okay, the fact is that Islamic terrorism, radical violence, has been endemic to Islam since the very beginning. Okay, Islam is a religion of conquering. And now radical Islam has metastasized into the West, and it's turned into not even conquest, just murder. Okay, I love the idea that inflammatory anti-Muslim rhetoric, like saying radical Islam is bad, and like saying we may have to take a closer look at the mosques that are being funded by the Saudi government, or like saying that we may have to take a closer look at Muslims entering the country than we would to Presbyterians entering the country. This is what hurts us. She says it hurts the vast majority of Muslims who love freedom and hate terror. You know what hurts people more? Radical Muslim bullets hitting them in the head in a gay nightclub in Orlando. That's what hurts people more. That's what hurts people more. But this is Hillary's message, right? Her message is that you have to have tolerance for radical Islam if you want the kind of country that she wants. And that kind of country can tolerate radical Islam so long as nobody has a gun. If we take the guns away from everybody, radical Islam is no more of a threat than anything else. Everything is just totally fine. Here's Hillary Clinton saying that what we need is e pluribus unum, right? Out of many, one. But she doesn't know what it means. Here she continues.
E pluribus unum. One out of many, one has seen us through the darkest chapters of our history. Ever since 13 squabbling colonies put aside their disagreements and united because they realized they were going to rise together or fall separately. Generation after generation has fought and marched and organized to widen the circle of dignity and opportunity, ending slavery, securing and expanding the right to vote, throwing open the doors of education, building the greatest middle class the world has ever seen.
Okay, so she you know, lumps this all into e pluribus unum. What she really means is unum pluribus e, basically, that out of one, we should have many. Because she doesn't mean that we should all have a common idea of freedom in common. We shouldn't have that. The only thing we should have in common is the government. Right? This is the slogan that President Obama pushed in 2012. The only thing that unites us all is the government. So we may not have common ideals of freedom or religion or decency or not killing gay people at nightclubs, but so long as we're willing to hand over all power to the federal government, all is good. So what we get from the Democrats, and this is why Trump is rising, and this is why Trump deserves to rise. He deserves to rise right now based on what he is saying. And you know, we'll talk about whether he can continue this in a moment. Donald Trump, he's saying the truth about radical Islam. There are certain ideas in America. There are certain ideologies in America. Radical Islam is one of them that we have to fight, that have to be fought, that are worthy of being fought. Hillary, she thinks the only ideology worthy of being fought is conservatism, right? Conservatives are her real enemies because we like guns and we think the government is not capable of solving all of our problems. She wants gun control. She wants gun control because gun control means that the government can establish us all as these kind of little widgets. And she doesn't care about radical Islam. That doesn't bother her. And the reason it doesn't bother her, the reason she worries about Islamophobia, is because she believes that what really motivates people, this is what the left believes, what truly motivates people is not religion, is not your deep-seated beliefs about the nature of the world. What motivates people is materialism. What motivates people is their lack of material well-being. This is why President Obama, for example, said ISIS needs jobs. Hillary thinks that the same thing that Obama says this in his book, the same thing that drives terrorism in Jakarta, Indonesia, drives inner-city violence in Chicago. This is absolute nonsense. It's not true. But Hillary thinks that it is, and so does Obama. And so the answer, take the guns away from all of us, and it doesn't matter what we believe because we can't kill each other. Only the government can kill people then. And then presumably, radical Islam won't matter as an ideology so long as we can have a socialist scheme where we redistribute wealth from the rich to the poor. This is what Marxist materialism would suggest as the solution. So here's what you have. You have on the one hand a guy who says ideology matters in Donald Trump. It's amazing to say Donald Trump is the guy who says ideas matter. Ideology matters according to Donald Trump. Ideology doesn't matter according to Hillary Clinton. All that matters is government control and redistributionism, and all will be well. If that makes you comforted, take a look at Europe, because they've tried that, and it's been a total failure. Now, Can Trump keep this up? Can Trump stay on message? We'll talk about that a little bit more tomorrow. First, things I like, and then a couple things I hate. So things I like, continuing the sports theme from last week, over the weekend, I had the chance to read Andre Agassi's autobiography, Open. I grew up as somebody who really didn't like Agassi. I thought that, like most people, I thought that he was a showboat. I thought of the image as everything stuff. The autobiography is really moving, and it talks about a guy who really had to struggle with personal demons and what it means to work hard to be great at something. It's a really, really good book, really good sports autobiography, one of the better ones that I've read. Okay, things that I hate. So showing that Democrats have just no concept of decency at all. Paul Ryan is on the House floor, and they hold a moment of silence for the victims in Orlando, and Democrats start screaming directly through it.
Without objection, five-minute voting will continue. Without objection, order. Order, without objection, five-minute voting will continue. The unfinished business is on the vote in the motion of the gentleman from Illinois, Mr. LaHood, to suspend the rules and pass H.R. 5312, unamended, on which the yeas and nays are ordered. The clerk will report the title of the bill.
H.R. 5312, a bill to amend the High Performance Computing Act of 1991 to authorize activities for support of networking and information technology research and for other purposes.
Okay, so Paul Ryan tried to hold a moment of silence. Democrats shouted through it because we need gun control and we need it now. Okay, gang? This is the problem. The entire left thinks that we are people who don't care about the deaths of innocents if we don't want to hand over our guns. You know, the fact is we all care about the deaths of innocents. The difference is that we believe that what motivates bad people is their ideas. The left believe that what motivates bad people is that they are insufficiently willing to hand government power. That's really what it comes down to. Okay, final point here. This show Hamilton, you know, as I've talked about on Broadway, the cast of Hamilton did the dumbest possible thing in response to the Orlando attack. The cast of Hamilton dropped the use of muskets from their Tony Award performance because of Orlando. Right? So the Tonys were happening, and so they dropped the use of muskets, which makes no sense whatsoever, okay? Muskets were not only part of the founding story, they were the instrument by which we won our freedom from the British. Beyond that, the cast of Hamilton is all gays and minorities, right? Broadway is the gayest place on earth. And so they're telling gays, you don't get guns. We're going to take away your guns symbolically. Unarmed gay people was the problem in Orlando because if there had been a few armed gay people, I want all the gays to have guns so they can shoot radical Muslims who try to kill them. And I would like that the founding fathers not be disarmed in the name of government dominance. I mean, this is crazy stuff, but this is what the left believes. We'll talk more about it tomorrow. I'm Ben Shapiro. This is The Ben Shapiro Show.